Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter number 2. This is the text that we were in last Sunday, Ephesians chapter number 2, and we're going to jump right into this in just a moment. I have a few things by way of announcement for the Anchor Baptist Church family, and that is that the Online Baptist Youth Conference that's being done by Brother Denise and a whole team of workers over there in Cebu, Philippines, that begins Monday. Be involved in that if you can, young people. Maybe not live, but maybe even after the fact. We're promoting it. We're praying for it, and please join us in praying for that. It begins on Monday. Then, ladies of Anchor Baptist Church, we have a ladies' Bible study this coming Tuesday at the church office, 7 p.m. If you have questions, please contact Mrs. Ravert about that. And then, of course, Wednesday night is our midweek meeting here at the office at 7 p.m. Everyone is invited, and I'm praying that God would build the Wednesday night meeting, and we've been encouraged by those who have been coming. We had a family out this past Wednesday who we haven't seen for a while. We were glad for them to be back with us, and why don't you join us this Wednesday night in person and be a part of it, and we're praying that God would fill up our space here on Wednesday evenings. If needed, we'll be back outside. I don't know. We're just kind of seeing how the Lord leads in the parking lot ministry and working on that. Then, as most of you know, next Sunday, we're having a youth fundraiser. And so bring $5, bring a toonie, bring a loonie, and we'll have popsicles and ice cream bars and other things like that that you can purchase after the service. And all the proceeds, all the profit goes to the youth ministry, which will help us with our teen camp days, which are coming up a week from tomorrow and Tuesday. By the way, there's still time for your young person to be involved in that. Please contact Pastor Nathan ASAP. There is still time. I don't think they'll get a t-shirt, but they can be involved in it. And we want your youth to be involved, grades 7 to 12. Please, parents, get behind this and take the time, bring them over, pick them up, please, or else they'll be camping there all night. Anyway, just kidding. But I'm not just kidding, they need to be picked up. But anyway, so youth fundraiser next Sunday, that's the 18th, a week from today, and please help us with that. You say, Pastor Turner, I don't need an ice cream bar, I don't need a popsicle, but I want to help with this. And so, okay, fine, you can do that, you can designate an offering. Don't use your tithe for it. Tithe belongs to the Lord. But you can designate an offering, $10, $5, $20 to the youth ministry, because we're also hoping later this fall to have a youth retreat, much like we used to go to Portland. And hopefully maybe next year we'll be going back to Portland. We'll see. Only the Lord knows. But we have something that we're praying about, but we need to raise some money for the lodging, or else it's going to cost way too much for your young people to go to it. But we're working on that. So help us with that. Thank you for all that you do, Anchor Baptist Church family, and we praise the Lord for each and every one of you. Last announcement, VBS, Vacation Bible School. We have secured the place where we're going to have it. It's going to be outdoors this year, a carnival theme. But we need help. We need laborers. And so if you're willing to help for Vacation Bible School, please contact myself or Pastor Nathan. Only adults can help, 18 and up. I guess it's not 18 and up. I think it's grade 11 and up. Anyway, we'll get those details. But we do need a background check. If we don't have an active, a valid background check for you, then we would need to get one of those done. And so this is why we want to get on it as soon as possible. All right. Thank you so much. Let's be praying for these events that are upcoming. And God is going to do great and mighty things. We know this. All right. Last Sunday, we began a lesson, preaching time, about the subject of the peacemaker. Ephesians 2:14 through 18 are our verses, and we looked at, if you remember, if you joined us last Sunday, we looked at number one, what did Jesus abolish? What did Jesus abolish? Or what Jesus abolished? And we saw that he abolished a social wall. It's mentioned there, that middle wall of partition between Jew and Gentile in verse number 14. And then he also, I don't have time, I'm not re-preaching last week's, just giving you this in case you're taking notes. He abolished a spiritual wall. And we see that in verse 15, where he abolished in his flesh the enmity between the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And so it was a spiritual wall that he abolished. And so we praise the Lord for that. And all only through the Lord Jesus Christ could these things be abolished. And today, praise the Lord, we aren't Jew and Gentile. We're Christians. We're followers of Jesus Christ. And those of us that are saved. And I hope even in this afternoon meeting, you've joined us. Thank you for coming. Maybe you're not saved. You say, Pastor Turner, I hope I'll go to heaven. I might go to heaven when I die. I really want to go to heaven. I definitely don't want to go to hell. Well, listen carefully this afternoon as we continue through this text. Look at verse number 16, Ephesians 2:16 now. And that he might reconcile both unto God, both meaning Jew and Gentile. Okay? Again, this is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus and reminding them that they have all been reconciled, Jew and Gentile, both have been reconciled unto God, that he, and that he there in verse 16 is Jesus Christ, might reconcile both Jew and Gentile unto God in one body, his body, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, humbled himself, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. He did not cease to be, he was still God. He became flesh without ceasing to become God. He was the God-man, the Son of Man, and the Son of God, all in one. Wow. But it says here he might reconcile both unto God, verse 16, in one body, by the cross. Oh, the cross is so important. The old rugged cross, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. And at the cross, where I hope you saw the light, I've seen the light, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven. But you can be saved today, you can come to Christ today. You come by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So number two, not only number one, what Jesus abolished, and we talked about that last week, but today, what Jesus accomplished. What Jesus accomplished. Having told us what Jesus abolished or destroyed, the Apostle Paul now tells us how he did it. What did he do on the cross? Yes, we know that he abolished several things, but what did he accomplish? So he destroyed some things, but then he created some things, or he brought some things, some opportunities. What did he accomplish? Number one, or letter A, he accomplished our reconciliation. Our reconciliation. Notice the word reconcile. The word reconcile in verse 16. What does this word mean? It means to bring to a state of harmony. All right, harmony. You know, maybe you know a little bit about music, and you know, you can maybe you've heard siblings sing, brothers and sisters, or just all sisters or all brothers. It doesn't really matter. But there's something about a group of siblings when they sing together that there's a lot of harmony. Why? Well, they're all of one, right? They're all of one father and mother, typically. And so there's something there. There's a oneness there. There's a harmony there. And yet, when we think of sinners and that are on their way to hell and not saved, and that's me, that was me in my life, and that was you in your life at one time. And so the Bible says that I am at enmity with God. Pardon me. I am at enmity with God. There's no harmony with God before Christ. There's no communication with God. By the way, you can't even pray to God and accept the prayer of repentance to be saved as an unbeliever, because there's enmity. There's that wall, again, that we talked about last week, that's got to come down. This was accomplished when Jesus Christ went to the cross. In his death, he destroyed the walls of separation. We talked about that. But also, not only did he tear something down, but he brought things together. What did he bring together? Not things, but he brought man together with man. We can have peace with our fellow man because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. But more importantly than that is that he brought man together with God. Boy, think about that. There's no way that I can have access to God. There's no way that I can have peace with God without Jesus Christ accomplishing what God sent him to accomplish on that old rugged cross. Praise God, he brought together sinful man with a holy God. Think about that. Sinful man with a holy God. His ultimate goal was to reconcile sinners to God, to take lost, hell-bound sinners, make them one with God in himself. Wow, what an accomplishment. When he said, "It is finished," so much took place. So much took place, and one of the things that he accomplished was our reconciliation. I am reconciled to a holy God now, not because of my merit. I'll just tell you this, I don't deserve, and you don't deserve to be reconciled to God. We don't deserve to be reconciled to God. You know what we deserve? We deserve judgment. We deserve punishment. We deserve the lake of fire. The Bible says in Revelation 20 and 14, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Oh, my friend, today is your name in the book of life? Have you been reconciled to God? Well, I'm a pretty good person, Pastor Ben. That's not what I asked. Pastor Ben, I've been baptized 2 times. That's not what I asked. Pastor Ben, I pray. That's not what I asked. I go to church. Not what I even tithe. That's not what I asked. I asked, have you been reconciled to God? You see, my friend, none of these things that I just mentioned will reconcile you to God. You can give and give and give and give, and it won't reconcile you to God. You can go to church and go to church and go to church, and it won't reconcile you to God. I think it's going to be sad, actually. I was going to say amazing, but I think it's going to be sad how many people are in hell for all eternity that regularly went to church. Yes, that regularly went to church. They thought in some way their merit, and they thought in some way they had to hold on to God, and they thought in some way if their good outweighed their bad, then God was going to wink at, I guess, all their sins, so to speak, and just let them come into heaven because the good outweighed their bad. And yet, this is never in the Word of God. But what we do have in the Word of God today is great hope, because Jesus Christ accomplished my reconciliation. Jesus Christ accomplished the reconciliation of everyone who's ever been born. Think about that. Wow. There is power in the blood of the Lamb. But not only did he accomplish our reconciliation, but number two, or letter B, he accomplished our redemption. Our redemption. Notice what it says there in verse number 16. It says that Jesus has slain the enmity. The enmity. The fact that we were his enemy, the enemy of God. When Jesus Christ gave himself as a perfect sacrifice for sin on the cross at Calvary, when he did that, he accomplished not only my reconciliation, the opportunity that I could just go to God, but now when I go to God, I can go and ask for my redemption. I can ask for the enmity to be slain. The word slain there means to kill, to utterly abolish. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he delivered everyone who would believe in him from the power of the law. Can't keep the law. It's impossible. Give it a try. You're probably not going to make it half a day. So he delivered us from the power of the law, but he also delivered us from the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin. He accomplished our redemption. How did he do this? How did Jesus Christ, God's Son, accomplish our redemption? Okay, let me give you some verses. Now, jot these down, and for time's sake, I'm going to read them to you. I have them in my notes here, and I'm going to read them to you. But first off, he did this because he became subject to the law. Galatians 4, 4 and 5, if you're jotting down these references. Galatians 4, 4 and 5. "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law." See, he was made subject to the law. He lived 33 years in a body like you, in a body like mine. He was tempted in all points like as we are. He was subject to the law, and yet he never sinned one time. There is one person who was born of a woman who never violated one law of God, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how he could accomplish my redemption, because he, the sacrifice, slain from before the foundation of the world, he was made subject to the law. Secondly, he bore the penalty of the law. He bore the penalty of the law. Look at Galatians 3:13, or jot that reference down, please. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He is our substitute. We call it the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you want, and I don't say this gleefully or happily, joyfully, if you want, you may die in your own sin and go to hell and pay for the sin that you've committed for all eternity. You may do that. You can walk right over the sacrifice, the substitutionary sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. While he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, and while he is seeking you even this afternoon, you from your own will have to say, I need Jesus, I'm not good enough. There's no way I can save myself. I deserve to go to hell. I'm a sinner. I need the substitution of the Lord Jesus Christ on my account. You have to make that decision. And by the way, no one is stopping you but you. Yes, the enemy is there, the world, the flesh, and the devil. But the enemy that we have really is self. It's pride. And yes, the devil blows into that, makes it harder, fuller of more pride. He increases it and uses all the tools that he has. But my friends, today you can, if you want, you can say no to the devil in the sense of I'm not following your ways anymore. And you can say yes to the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must make that decision. Or yes, as I said, you can die. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Who's paying for that death? Who's paying the wages? Well, two choices. You will pay, or he already paid. Oh, my friend, don't live under the weight and the load of guilt anymore. Come to Jesus Christ and be set free. He already bore the penalty. He bore the penalty in his own body. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Why would you want to bear your own sins when Jesus already did? Why would you want to keep the weight of sin on you when Jesus already took the weight on you? That we, being dead to sins, yes, that's me before I got saved. That's you before you got saved. Dead to sins. That we who were dead to sins, Peter says, should live unto righteousness. I didn't get saved. Jesus Christ didn't save me to continue to live in sin. How shall we that are, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Christian, you're saved and on your way to heaven. Stop living like a lost person. It's time to live the Christian life in victory. We should live unto righteousness. Doing right not because we have to. Doing right not because if we don't, God's going to judge us. No, doing right because we love God. Doing right because we are alive and have the opportunity to live for the Lord and help others by whose stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24. So he bore the penalty in his body. He bore the penalty on the cross. Colossians 1:21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh. How? Through death. Sacrifice had to take place. This is why the devil tried to keep Jesus from going to the cross. This is why the devil tried to keep Jesus from going to the cross perfect. Because he knew who he was. The demons knew who he was and is. And on it goes. That in the body of his flesh, Colossians 1:22, through death to present you, the sinner, holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, in the sight of God. Today, as a Christian, we are holy, we are unblameable, we are unreprovable. Why? Because of Jesus Christ being our peacemaker. What did Jesus accomplish? He accomplished our reconciliation. He brought us to a state of harmony. Only Jesus could do that. Is your life out of harmony today? Is your life out of tune? It could be because you've never been saved. Dear Christian, it could be because you're trying to live your life in the power of yourself. Oh, let's get back to living in the power of the Spirit of God. Let's get back to the Scriptures. Let's get back to obedience. Let's get back to humility. Let's get back to giving mercy as we've been given mercy. Let's get back to the house of the Lord. Let's get back to serving Him. We've been reconciled. He accomplished that. Oh, praise God. He accomplished our redemption. He accomplished our redemption. Let's look at one more thing today about this fact of being a peacemaker in our text here of Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 17. The Bible says, "And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh." He preached to the Jew, he preached to the Gentile. He preached the same message. It was a message of peace. "For through him," verse 18, "we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." All right, number one, last week, what Jesus abolished. Number two, what Jesus accomplished. And then lastly, number three, what Jesus authorized. What did Jesus authorize? Well, firstly, letter A, he delivered a message of peace. That's been our theme. The word peace in our text is there three times. Verse 14, verse 15, and verse 17. Peace between people speaks of what we said just a moment ago, a harmony, a unity, a concord. Jesus accomplished this between the Jew and the Gentile. But as we come into verse 17, notice the word peace is there again. He preached peace. This peace is again between God and man. It refers to a tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, fearing nothing, and content with its earthly lot of whatever sort it is. Peace. This is what God gives us through Jesus Christ. This message of peace. We don't have to fear anything. Why? Because we're at peace with God. We don't have to fear anything. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us. And we don't have to worry about what we have or we don't have. Because the songwriter said, "Christ is all I need. All I need." Notice the word preached. The word preached in verse 17. It's the same word translated often, gospel. So we could say good news, right? The good news. When the Lord Jesus Christ secured peace with God through his death on the cross, and he now is going out, both the Jew and Gentile, declaring this good news that they both can be saved from their sins. So he authorized the delivery of a message of peace. Now, do you see where we're headed? We have who were nigh, or we who were far off, we who were under sin, we've come to Christ. Things have been abolished. Things have been accomplished. Now we have some authorization that we need to deliver this same message. We need to take this message of peace and not just stick it in our pocket and not just hold it close to us and say, "Oh, I'm so glad I'm at peace with God." But we need to take this message, not in our own strength, not in our power, not because of our word, but because of His word, we can go and deliver this same message of peace. He's authorized us to be His ambassadors, to be His witnesses. This same good news stands today. Those who have come to the Lord Jesus Christ always find a willing Savior. Let's go to a couple of verses quickly. John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. And let's not lose sight of these verses. And the Bible says in verse 37, Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 35. "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life." Don't forget that. The church is not the bread of life. Pastor's not the bread of life. You're not the bread of life. Your good deeds aren't the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. "He that cometh to me shall never hunger." Look at that. Look at that. "He that cometh to me." Are you hungry today spiritually? Come to Jesus. You won't hunger anymore. "He that believeth on me shall never thirst." Why? Because he's also the living water. "But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not." Oh, how many people today have heard and heard and heard and heard and heard. And they've seen and seen and seen and seen. While we've not seen him with our own eyes, we have seen his work. We have seen His Word. We have seen so much. And yet how many people today have yet to come to Christ? How about you, sir? How about you, ma'am? How about you, teenager? Have you come to Christ yet? Jesus is saying, "Ye have seen, but you have not believed." Verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, notice. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. How does this take place? This takes place because Jesus has authorized a message of peace for anyone today who comes to him by the way of the cross, by the way of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're not saved by works, you're saved by faith. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Oh, are you saved today? You can be. I've been authorized to deliver a message of peace to you. Why? Because Jesus Christ has put his blood, his stamp of approval, is on the message of the gospel of peace. And if you come to him today, he will not reject you. God resists pride, but he gives grace to the humble. If you come to God through his Son today and say, I'm claiming the gift of salvation, I'm claiming that he's abolished everything that needed to be abolished, the middle wall, and I'm coming to you, God, because he's accomplished what needed to be accomplished. He became my substitute. I'm accepting Jesus Christ today on July 11, 2021. I want to be born again of the Spirit of God, never looking back on my past, always looking ahead to what God has for me and trusting him. He will in no wise cast you out. What does this mean? It means he will not reject you. Pastor Turner, you don't understand the stack of sin I have. He won't reject you. It doesn't matter what I don't understand, and I may not understand. I only can comprehend so much. I'm not, you know, I'm only a man, right? But I know this, God understands it all. He's holy, and he says if you'll come to him through his Son, he will in no wise cast you out. Look at verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. You see, this is why I'm coming to you today. I'm coming to you today, because God is good and God be glorified. It's really not necessarily only for you. I'm coming to you and I'm preaching to you today really for God's glory, because I love God and I don't love him enough. I need to love him more. But because of God's love, I love you. I don't even know who's listening to this message. But God's love coming through me loves you and says to you that the truth can set you free. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This has been delivered. This message has been delivered hundreds and thousands and millions and probably billions of times from eternity, from the early church age until now, the first century church until now, hundreds and millions and probably billions of times, and this message has come, and God's Spirit has convicted, and thousands and thousands and millions of people have answered the call, and they have come to Christ as Savior. Why? Because of the peacemaker. They come to God for forgiveness through Jesus Christ the Savior, because he is the peacemaker. He authorized the message. He is the head of the church. He is the foundation. The church, the pillar and ground of the truth. But our head is not a man. Our head is Jesus Christ. And so I come to you this afternoon with a message that has been authorized, a message of peace that's been authorized by the great peacemaker. But not only was it a message of peace, but notice as we've kind of touched on it, it was a message of permission. Notice verse 18. Back to our text. Ephesians 2. Sorry, I lost my just train of thought there for a moment. That happens, doesn't it? Ephesians 2 and verse 18. For through him, through Jesus Christ, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. He delivered a message of permission. Of permission. Because of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, God's word says we have access. We have access. This word access means the act of moving to or of bringing to. When we come to Jesus Christ by faith, we are placed in a position of being brought to God. Of being brought to God. We have access. This particular word is used three other times in the New Testament. Romans 5:2 and Ephesians 3:12. Look at Ephesians 3:12, one page over. Says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of man. We have access. We have permission. It refers literally to a court official who was responsible for introducing people to the monarch. In other words, this official controlled who had access to the king. You had to go to him to get to the king. Hello. And because of Jesus Christ, we have access to the King. You can pray to the King of Kings. Why? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ and His peacemaker, being the peacemaker, giving us permission, giving us access. He is our access to the Father. He controls access to God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is able to take us where we could never take ourselves. Hallelujah. Our sins were an impossible barrier between us and Him. Isaiah 59 verse 2, sins have separated you. But Jesus Christ, once again, as we said, tore down the wall and reached out and claimed us and brought us to God. He gives us the access that we need. Many years ago in England, a young boy by the name of William stood at the gate of Buckingham Palace. He stood there for most of the day. He had one objective. He had one goal. This young boy wanted to see the King of England. He didn't want anything. He just wanted to see the King. Unfortunately, maybe you've been there before, but unfortunately, you don't just walk in to see the King of England. There were obstacles. There was a big wall around the palace. Then there was a big gate in the wall to lead into the area where the king would be. And then there were guards, and then there were policemen. I mean, it was impossible for William to get there. Finally, toward the end of the day, a police officer said to William, "William, it's time to go home now." William pleaded with him one more time, I really want to see the king. Can't you help me? Can't you get me in to see the king?" And he said, "William, it's impossible. There's no way you can see the king." And right after that, the gate opened up and out walked a young man, and he walked past the policeman and he walked over to William and he grabbed him by the hand. And all of a sudden, everything changed. In walked William with this man holding his hand, past the policeman, past the guards, into the palace. No one questioned them. This young stranger took William all over the palace. He showed him everything. The ins and the outs and just all of it. William, I mean, this is unbelievable. He's thinking, I can't believe this. Who is this that's holding my hand? Who is this that's taking me around the palace? And they walked up to a door, a big door, and it opened up. And they walked in. There he was, the King of England. The young stranger said, "Father, I have here a young boy who wants to meet you. Meet my friend William." William? Meet the king. Little did William William didn't know, but the man holding his hand was Edward, Prince of Wales. Because he met the son of the king, William met the father. He met the king. I think you're following it, aren't you? This is exactly what Paul is saying in our text of scripture that we read these last couple of weeks. There's no way we could get to God on our own. There were too many obstacles. We were dead. We were blind. We were lost. And there was no way we could get to God. But praise God, Jesus left heaven's comfort. Jesus left the street of gold. Jesus left the presence of his Father. And he came and put his hand out and said, "Here, I'm the peacemaker. I can get you to the Father, but you must come with me." Oh, I'm so thankful today he brought us to God. He brought us to the Father. He brought us to the Lord. He brought us to freedom. He brought us to peace. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Won't you come to Him today, lost one? Stop turning Him away. Today, receive Him by faith. Even now, bow, if you can, just bow to your knee and trust Jesus Christ as Savior and put your faith and trust in Him, not in your old ways or not in the church or not in your merit, not in your righteousness, but in His righteousness. Oh, He's abolished everything. He has made a way. He has accomplished. He has authorized. Oh, today, would you get saved? Come to Christ today. Christians, we have a message to deliver. It's a message of peace. And we've been authorized by the Son of the King. We've been authorized by the King's Word to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The good news of the peacemaker. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for Your many blessings. I pray, God, that You would do a great work now. Save the lost. Help us to be obedient as Christians to deliver the message. Most importantly, God, please, may You be glorified in all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. If there's any way that I can help you, please reach out to me. My email address is anchorbaptistburnaby@gmail.com. And you can also get access to me through the website, anchoredinjesus.com. We're praying for you. We're praying most importantly for the lost to be saved. But we're also praying for revival. I need it. All of God's people need reviving. Let's look to the peacemaker as we live our lives this week for His honor and glory. God bless you. Have a great rest of your Lord's Day.